This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field in Arlington. And right now, brought to you on the D&M Hotline, leasing hotline. There we go. We bring to you from BaltimoreRavens.com reporter Clifton Brown. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Now, obviously, I know a lot of the national media goes into, let's talk about Derrick Henry, let's talk about Lamar Jackson, and I get all that. But I actually want to talk about, like, anybody but those two to start off with. And I guess my question is, how are the Ravens 0-2? You look at the fact that they haven't lost the turn. They've got as many turnovers as they've given up. They've outgained both opponents. How did they fall to 0-2?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I'd point to giving up too many big plays at key times. And then I would also point to just the offense, too many mistakes. I mean, they're only two teams have been penalized more than the Ravens. So even though they're moving the ball well, they're having too many plays that are being nullified, too many plays, situations where they're first and 15 or second and 25. It makes it hard to sustain drives. And then, you know, in both games this year, they've had a chance to win in the fourth quarter, but, you know, have come up short either not being able to stop the Raiders in the fourth quarter or not ultimately being able to get, you know, the tying touchdown against the Chiefs at the very end of the game. So two games they could have won, but they won neither, and now they're in trouble.
So you don't actually think that Gardner Minshew turned into the best quarterback in the NFL like that fourth quarter?
For just a minute, he did.
Like that fourth quarter led me to believe, right?
He's been looking like that against the Ravens. I mean, last year, Minshew beat the Ravens when he was with the Colts. So they really don't want to see any more of Gardner Minshew. Something about the Ravens turns him into Superman. And, yeah, he and Adams really picked apart the Ravens in that fourth quarter. Adams is a great player. Minshew made some great throws. And, yeah, it was, I think, kind of stunning to see it happen again to the Ravens with Gardner Minshew. But it did. And, again, that leaves them 0-2 heading to Dallas.
I know by no means are the Ravens thinking about this, or maybe they are. They're just not discussing it. But how important is this game for the Ravens, especially when you look at the next two games on their schedule? Because I'm not saying this will happen, but you look at that schedule and say, I could potentially see 0-5.
Yeah, well, they've got Buffalo at home after this game with the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. We know Buffalo's undefeated. Then they go to Cincinnati in Week 5, and even though the Bengals are 0-2, we know how good they can be with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and that crew. So, yes, I mean, this is a huge game for the Ravens, even though it's only Week 3. No team has ever won the Super Bowl starting 0-3. Only one team since 2000, the 2018 Houston Texans, have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. And obviously the Ravens started this year thinking they're a Super Bowl contender, sure, and still think that way after making it AFC Championship. But when you start 0-3, it is almost always meant that you don't make the playoffs, and they don't want any part of that and would be there if they lost Sunday in Dallas.
We have Brandon Aubrey here, and we love him. I also have Justin Tucker on my fantasy team, and should we stop asking him to kick from 53 yards out?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
No, you know, obviously Tucker's one of the best who's ever done it. There's been a lot of attention paid to his recent struggles. I believe 1 for 7 from plus 50 yards over his last 7 kicks in that distance, but his leg is still strong. These kicks aren't short. You know, he's missing them wide. His track record, impeccable. Keeps himself in great shape. Still works very hard. I think he's going to snap out of this plus 50, you know, yard problem very soon. And so, no, I wouldn't abandon Justin Tucker ever at this point as being one of the elite kickers. But this is a stretch where, yeah, they certainly could have used those 3 points Sunday, you know, and that has been part of the Ravens' problems. There's a lot of things that they just aren't doing as well as they know they can. And they need to start now, because starting 0-2 doesn't give you much wiggle room.
We're talking with Clifton Brown right here from BaltimoreRavens.com. I'm curious your experience on the kind of feedback and criticism Lamar Jackson gets, because he feels like a unique quarterback, much like Dak feels like a unique quarterback, in terms of it feels like, man, they get dumped on a lot when things don't go their team's way. And I know a lot of people think Dak gets dumped on the most. I argue that it feels like Lamar Jackson takes a lot of heat. What's been your experience in terms of, like, proportional blame that Lamar Jackson gets?
Well, yeah, I think it's out of order at times. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's won two MVPs. He's the youngest to ever win an MVP. He's the youngest to ever win a Heisman. When he came out of college, you know, he had to wait till the 32nd pick to get drafted. I think, obviously, that's been proven to be a major mistake by the NFL, thinking that, you know, he wasn't going to be a great NFL quarterback. The only thing he hasn't done is to get to and win a Super Bowl. That's it. And there have been a lot of great quarterbacks, like Peyton Manning, like Drew Brees, who did not win a Super Bowl at 27. There have been other great quarterbacks, you know, who've never won one. And Lamar, I think he's still getting better. So, yes, you know, he has not been at his absolute best in some playoff games. No, he has not won a Super Bowl. But to think that, you know, you wouldn't want to have him as a quarterback if you're, you know, an NFL team, and that you can't win a Super Bowl with him, I think is preposterous. So, you know, I think
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's the world he lives in, though. All quarterbacks get criticized, particularly in playoff games, if you don't play your best. He has to be strong enough to deal with that, just like Dak Prescott, and then believe in themselves that they can do it. So for both of them, we'll see. But I definitely think you can win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. I believe you can with Dak Prescott, too, but you've got to go out there and prove it to shut up the naysayers.
That's a fact right there. And Kevin and I have been Lamar Jackson fans, you know, since he got into the league, actually, when he was a Louisville.
Yeah.
One of the things we always talk about with Dirk Nowitzki is every offseason he'd add something, he'd work on something. What is it that Lamar Jackson worked on the most this offseason, and have you seen that play out for him so far this year?
Yeah, I think the last two offseasons, ever since Ty Monken became offensive coordinator, it's, you know, film study and recognizing, you know, what he sees before the ball is snapped. Lamar has more freedom than ever to change plays at the line of scrimmage. If he doesn't see what he likes, get the Ravens into something else. He's taken ownership of the offense, and that's something I think most quarterbacks, as they progress in their career, you know, that's part of making you better. You know, I mean, guys like Tom Brady were great at it. You know, Peyton Manning, you know, before the ball was snapped, sometimes the play was already over in their favor because they knew where they were going and they could see your weaknesses. I think Lamar is getting better at that for sure. I think he will continue to do that. And, yeah, I do think in the long run, having a back like Derrick Henry is really going to help him, because Henry's the type of player who can close games as well. If you have a lead and you have Derrick Henry, he can take you home. So it's not all on Lamar to do that. And I think that, you know, later in the season, when the weather turns, when defenses get a little more tired, having that 1-2 punch is really going to pay off for the Ravens.
Clifton, I like that you brought up Derrick Henry there too, because I know that you got two different backs there that are very different backs. And how have you liked the balance and the way they've used Justice and Derrick on the field?
Well, yeah, it's a new combination in that Derrick's first year here. And I think the Ravens are still trying to find their way as far as, you know, not wanting to be too predictable depending on which one's in the game. You know, if Derrick Henry's in, then defense is thinking they're going to run it. If Justice Hill is in, thinking there's more, they're more apt to throw it. Mm. I do think when Keaton Mitchell, their running back who was really making explosive plays as a rookie last year before he suffered a knee injury, when he comes back at some point this season, I think that's really going to help the backfield be, you know, a little tougher to defend, because Mitchell can come out of the backfield and catch, but he's also an explosive runner. And I think that that 1-2 punch, that kind of thunder and lightning, is really going to be something the Ravens can exploit later in the season. But for now, yeah, I mean, both those running backs are talented, but we know Derrick Henry's a special kind of back. I still think that he's, you know, an elite back at age 30, so much is made of running backs turning 30, but he was number two in the league rushing last year, and not playing for a team that had this much talent. So Derrick Henry, I think, is going to be a big factor for the Ravens as we move along in the season.
Now, obviously, I'm sure a lot of NFL teams would be like, I would also like to talk about my complaints about my offensive line. Like, I understand that's just part of the deal. But what have you been your early thoughts about the offensive line? Obviously been some questions about guard. How do you think that's looking early in the season?
Well, they're definitely going through some growing pains. I mean, the Ravens are replacing three starters from last year on the offensive line, which is a lot for a team that, you know, is trying to win a Super Bowl. And they're all young players who are starting. Andrew Voorhees, he's in his second year, but he misses a whole rookie season with a knee injury at left guard. You've got Daniel Falele, who really came into the league as a right tackle, switching to right guard. And then you've got a rookie, Roger Rosengarten, who's been, you know, sharing snaps with Patrick McCary, who is a veteran at right tackle. So, yeah, it's a huge change. They've had some good plays, but they've also had some breakdowns at key times, which have led to sacks by Lamar. I mean, Max Crosby had a huge sack on the Ravens' last possession Sunday that really kind of ended the Ravens' hopes of even getting a, you know, game-time field goal. So it is an issue. The Ravens are hoping that as their line, you know, gets more experience, and then, you know, Ronnie Stanley at left tackle and Tyler Linderbaum, a Pro Bowl center, they're there to help and lead the way, that by the end of the season that the line will be pretty good. That's the Ravens' hope. But there's no question they've had some growing pains the first two games, and it is part of the reason why they've started 0-2.
Any chance you want to give me a prediction for Sunday afternoon?
Sure. I would say that, you know, when the Ravens' backs are against the wall, I feel that's when they play their best. Mm. And I feel that, yeah, 0-2, they're not trying to pretend that it's not a big deal. They know the schedule, just like you guys ran it down. They know the numbers about, you know, teams going 0-3, even though they're not going to give up if they lose Sunday, that they're just digging themselves a bigger hole. I think that the Ravens are going to approach this like a playoff game, do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, I know every week can be different in NFL, but watching the Cowboys last week, I think the Ravens will be able to score against Dallas. And I think that the Ravens' defense is good enough that they'll make enough key plays to probably win a high-scoring game. So I would say something like Ravens 33, Cowboys 27.
Well, obviously, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah. Look, man, don't love the prediction, but love the guest. You're fantastic, Clifton. Thanks for hopping on with us today, man.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
There you go, Clifton Brown from BaltimoreRavens.com. A lot of positive feedback there on the fan text. Appreciate it very, very much.